I read some translations. It says, this is how it is with a man who stores up treasure for himself that is on the earth and is not rich in the eyes of God. If you read the Bible in basic English, that's what it says. Amplified says, he's not rich in his relationship with God. That is, of course, reading in context, we can see that this man's behavior, which on the earth will have said the man has arrived, the Bible says is a sign of his poverty in the eyes of God or in his relationship with God. Remember, we quoted two scriptures last time also. Because of time now, I won't read it. From Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. If you read in verse 9, God was speaking to the church in Smyrna. He said that, I know of your poverty. He said, but indeed you are rich. Then he talked about the faith of the people, that they are about to be tested. And you know that it is faith that is tested when the people go through adversity. And then he now went to chapter 3, in around verse 17, verse 18, thereabout. You will now see him begin to speak about the church in Laodicea. Those ones were rich outwardly. But Jesus said, I always like to read that one. That one is very, that is so emphatic. The one in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. I want to just read the very words that the Lord used. Revelation chapter 3. Like I said, around verses 17 and 18. You see from verse 14, he said, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write. In verse 17, he says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. That is, I have everything I will ever need. He said, but you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, that is, with true riches, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Let me just stop there. The point here is that these people outwardly had things, but God said they were what? Poor. Not only were they poor, the Lord said to them that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. And these were people who were clothed in beautiful garments outwardly. In modern days, they were driving the best cars in the society. Their church was beautiful. They could build fantastic cathedrals. Each person contributed money and the place was fine. And God looked at them and said, these people are blind. They are wretched. They are poverty stricken. That is, the way we judge wealth as human beings is not the way God judges it. Are you getting my point? So very important. First, apply this into yourself. You may not have plenty of cash now. It doesn't mean you are poor. You may have plenty of cash. It does not mean you are rich. In fact, that's what the thing he said. He said, you know, yesterday we talked about how to buy from God. You buy with the willingness to learn. So he said, come to me and buy true gold. Buy real gold. That is, go to the word of God. That is, he was saying to them, go to the word of God and learn. With prayer, put down your heart and let God teach you what is right to do. That's what he was saying. That way, you become truly rich. All right? So those are the points I want to review quickly that to let us know. So when we're talking about prosperity, please, we must not think like the world thinks. So that's why some Christians criticize. They say they criticize the prosperity message. And the reason is that they think that people are being taught covetousness. I remember those days, after my youth service, I went to Lagos. That's how the Lord led me. And I used to go to listen to Bishop David Oyedepo a lot, all right? In fact, I say that in about 8 months, I listened to the man for over 400 hours in a period of about 8 months. I listened to him so much. That's not counting the other preachers I listened to. I learned a lot. Now, Bishop Oyedepo was a prosperity preacher, or is a prosperity preacher. And a lot of people would criticize. And I said, look, I don't understand you people, what you hear when you are listening. I went to Bishop Oyedepo. I was listening to him a lot. Yet, now listen to this. Some people go there, they learn covetousness. Before I even say what I wanted to say, one man said that the church he used to go to, he was an assistant pastor in that church, that the pastor says he's a prosperity preacher. I attended the church a bit also at the time. Well, I go around listening to attending programs and all of that. So I went to the church a number of times. He said, this man was an assistant pastor in that church.
He said, because the pastor preached prosperity, they all had to look prosperous. So they will wear agbada. You know agbada? Expensive agbada. He said his car must always be shining. Every little dent he has gone to polish the car. He said the engine will be rotten inside though, but nobody can see the engine. He said he used to annoy his landlord because he used to owe rent. Did you hear what I said? A man wearing big agbada, who was an assistant pastor in the church, will always look rich. When the pastor sees him going to church, then when the landlord sees him going to church, the landlord is looking at this guy. So this boy has money like this, but he has not paid my rent. But the truth was that the man didn't have money. They were trying to put up an appearance. Let me quickly say, that is not Christianity. That's not Christianity. You can preach prosperity and not wear expensive things. You can preach prosperity and not have a car. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes. You can preach prosperity and trek to church all the time. You can preach prosperity and say, I'm sorry, I don't eat chicken. I don't eat beef. I only eat fish, frozen fish. You can preach prosperity and say, listen, I don't believe in traveling abroad for holiday. I believe in staying in my house. So all those, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that we don't let the world dictate things to us. That was what happened to those people. They were allowing the world to dictate to them what was prosperity. So because the pastor preached prosperity, all of them had to look prosperous. So they will be buying clothes they cannot afford. I tell people, you buy shirts to wear, you are paying over 3 months. You should know that you are a sinner. It's only a sinner that does that. You buy shirts to wear. 3 months. You know, women are very good with that. It's called iniquity. What did I call it? Iniquity. The answer now. Ah. I know it's pinching you. It's iniquity. Abba. Shirts have different grades. Till today, if you go to market with 500 naira, you see correct shirts to buy. Why should you buy the one that is 6,000 naira? And every month you are dropping to 2,000 because of shirt. By the time the thing has finished wearing out, you never even finish paying out. Why are you putting up appearances? Anything you are buying and you are paying instrumentally, it should last much longer than the period you are paying it. People will buy, they will buy jewelry, buy hair things, and you are paying over the next 3 months, 4 months. But they won't give offering over 3 months like that. So that is go to church. Say, okay, I'm giving 100,000 naira, even though I don't have it. And there's one brother who did it too. In fact, people do it all the time. One of my brothers told us the story. He said, anytime we come for our convention, he's a preacher. He said, I always pledge, because we run our conventions on free will offerings, free will donations. He said, I always pledge 10,000 naira. He said, that 10,000 naira has gone on for too long. So I decided that this year I'm pledging 100,000. He has a year to pay. See, as the next convention was approaching, he had not paid one kobo. So he said that day, he said, okay, let him start paying. He went to the bank. I can't remember the exact sum. Assume he put in 5,000 naira today out of 100,000. The next day, he got some money. He said he would just be paying as he's coming. He went and put in 7,000 naira, has paid 12,000 now. The day he put that, now, I'm not very accurate in the way he did it now, but the story is correct. It's just that whether it's 5,000 or 7,000, I'm not very accurate. But this really happened. In the morning of one day, he put in maybe like 5,000 or 7,000 naira. In the evening, he paid up the balance. As in by morning now, he has paid 12,000. By evening, he went back and paid up 88,000. So the brother who gets all the alerts called him and said, ah, man of God, what's happening? He said, don't worry, God is happening. Because, do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody's paying you money, and this money he put 5,000, and even he put 88,000. Like, what happened? What happened was that, as he was sitting down, one brother called him and said, please, I am sending you money. I sent you $1,000. He said, praise God. Which bank? He told him, he ran to the bank, collected the dollar, changed it to naira, counted the balance, ran to the other bank, and paid. Paid up the money. But what am I telling the story? He made up his mind that, listen, me too, I should be able to give. And God supplied his need. Many of us were willing to do that when we were buying things. One is church, you say, you know, I don't have. It is acceptable according to what a man has. But it's acceptable for a man to buy what he can't afford. That's why I call it iniquity. Anything you can't do in giving out, don't do it in using it for yourself. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, I mean it. If you cannot give out instrumentally, don't buy anything instrumentally. Be paying for a shirt for 6 months. May that shirt tear in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. So that you won't buy it again. We have to teach ourselves godliness. 6 months. My brother and my sister, we go to market. There are cheap ones there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So back to the issue I was talking about covetousness. Talking about prosperity message. So those that I used to listen to Bishop Oyedepo, and some people will tell you that what they learned, that the man is making Christians covetous. Like I told you, what they call rich, maybe we know what the man was calling it. Because what I learned while I was going there those days, I heard the word of God so much that my shoes caught, you know, shoe. Under it, it developed a hole. The rubber under split in two. I checked it. If I leave it there, you know what I was telling myself? I'm prosperous in Jesus' name. I don't need the shoe. No, that's what I told myself. In fact, the day I need the shoe had a hole was that we were walking somewhere in my cousin's shop. It's a big place. So during that day, so I was walking through, you know, like, imagine water pours here now. I stepped on a small puddle of water, and I felt it. I said, how come I'm feeling water through my shoes? Is that how sensitive my feet are? That's when I picked up the shoe and looked under. It had cracked. What did I do? I wore it back and kept on praising God. Then one day I traveled, I went and saw my brethren. I was wearing the same shoes. So one brother looked and said, Banky, this is your shoe now, wow. I said, what's wrong with my shoes? The other one said, well, I've been on one talk. I don't need to look and since. I said, people are laughing at my shoes. Let me tell you, I'm bringing an issue here. Do you know when I returned to Lagos, I went to the market and bought two pairs of Italian shoes immediately. I had the money. I just did not realize. I don't know what I get my point. I was so full of the word, I didn't think it mattered. It was when my brother would say, Banky, this your shoe is not good now. It's disgracing the kingdom. That was when I realized I could change them. Yet, some people go to the same church. That's where I'm going. And hear the same gospel and become covetous. They'll be buying things they can't afford. I went to the same church, heard the same gospel. What did it teach me? It taught me simply that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Yet at the same time, I believe the word of God that's found in the book of Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12, which says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I didn't feel I needed to show off to anybody. I remember when I met my wife then, she told me that the problem was that I talked too much. What did she mean? Because I used style, you know, style. We're not getting married yet, we're just talking to each other, just greeting each other, just shaking hands, just calling each other once in a while. I used style to tell her my whole salary, how much it was. It wasn't much. That time it was 12,000 naira in a month. I tell her, there's a style you can use to tell somebody something. I said, can you imagine that man went and bought Agbada for 12,000? Hey, that's my whole month salary. She has heard it. Because, and what I used to say to everybody is, listen, if you like, laugh at me that my money is small. One day you'll be telling your children, that man wanted to marry me, but I thought he was poor, but now I see he's rich. Why? Because I understood that the word of God is true prosperity. What I look like outwardly, what I have physically is not true prosperity. The word of God is true prosperity. The word of God is true prosperity. It's very important we get that point. So, the gospel of prosperity, therefore, is a good gospel. It is not a lie. It's not teaching people to be worldly. Those who want to be worldly when they hear the gospel of prosperity, it is because they don't want to hear the truth. It is because their worldliness had not departed from their hearts. It is because they in themselves are worldly. They are just using the gospel of Jesus, all right, manipulating it for their own worldliness. The true gospel of prosperity is a good gospel. What is prosperity? Prosperity simply means, I'm using the definition of Derek Prince, Derek Prince says, prosperity is having all you need in life to do the will of God. But I modify it a bit. This is Banky's modification of Derek Prince's definition. Prosperity is having all you need in life to do the will of God. Number two, to enjoy doing the will of God. Number three, to help somebody else do the same. That's prosperity. If you have all you need to do the will of God in your life, it's good, it's not enough. You should enjoy doing it. Listen, I can give out of my lack. I have done it again and again and again. I remember a friend of mine was going back to school those days. I just finished my NYC. I didn't have money too. Struggling, had very little money. I'm not even sure I was working that time. And I was living, I remember, I was dipping my hand into every corner of my pocket. I give him this 100 naira, hold. As we are going, I say, wait, I check here. Yes, there's another 200 naira. Hold it. And he will hold it, he will arrange it. As I go to the bus stop, and I say, Banky, this guy is going to go. And you won't give him money. The last one I had, I just said, oh boy, just add this one to that money I gave you. When you get to school, give this person this amount. Uh-huh. You take this amount. Uh-huh. And you take this amount. Give the other fellow this amount. He said, good. In fact, later on, when I went to visit them, one of them gave me a testimony. These are all big people now. I was a very small person that time too. I just finished my NYC. One of the sisters I sent the money to said, when that brother got to her room, knocked, he sat down with a smile on his face, brought out his purse and said, Banky said I should give you this. She said that day she didn't have a kobo. And she was expecting, I think there was a program that was going on, so we were going to visit. So she quickly took the money and ran to the market to buy something. So when our visitors come, they will see something to eat. Why am I telling the story? When I gave that brother that money, I didn't have a cowboy again. You can give out of your lack. The Macedonians did it. Paul wrote about it in the 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Macedonians did that. Spiritually, yes, maybe they are prosperous. But that prosperity never reached physical level. Are you getting my point? Now, if I want to give to a student, I don't scratch my pocket. I just say, give me your account number. I bring out my phone, bring out my token, tap, 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 pum. As he entered, yes, I'm not clearing my account because of you. Because the amount of money I have in there, you can't finish it as a student. What are you doing? Are you getting my point? That if there was a time to give to students, I scrapped my pocket, opened my shoe, check whether I keep socks, money inside socks. Did everything to gather enough money just to dash three of my friends who were still in school. That was the time. But if I have to give to any student now, unless you decide I should pay your school fees in Liverpool, if it is Nigeria, don't worry, I will not sweat to pay your school fees. I won't pray about it. You know, Father, in Jesus' name, supply our needs so we can help this brother pay school fees. If I pray that kind of prayer, you know, God is a loud person. So there are prayers you pray, God will be so angry, he will slap you. You won't know why your joy has been paining you for 3 days. You won't know it is bad prayer. To give money, you're praying, God, this man needs 1,000, should I give him? Which kind of prayer is that? He's hungry, you're sure of it. He needs the 1,000, there's no doubt. You have 4,000, what are you praying about again? What am I trying to say? Prosperity is not just having enough to do the will of God. That's the next point I'm trying to explain. It is enjoying doing it. You can give out of your poverty, but God does not plan that to be forever. Those are the times of the trial of your faith. What God really wants is that you will give out of your abundance. You can give out of your lack, say amen. But better with God is when your faith has been proven. He wants your giving to be out of abundance. That's why I said endure hardship. It never said enjoy hardship. Did you ever see where God said enjoy hardship as a true soldier? No. He said do what? Endure. It's endurance. It's not enjoyment. So prosperity, therefore, one, having enough to do the will of God. Two, to enjoy doing the will of God. That's prosperity. Number three, I said, is to be able to help somebody else do the same. I mean, If a young man comes to you and says, God has called me to serve in the ministry, and you say, praise God, and every day he can't eat, is it good that God called him to the ministry and he can't eat? I say, my brother, don't worry, you are being tested. It is not your position to tell him it's not your place to tell him he's being tested. Let the Holy Spirit tell him that one. You are supposed to ensure he's not tested. I don't know whether you get my point. There are things that God is doing and he tells you, don't help me. Okay, let me prove that to you again. When God wants to punish the children of Israel, he always punishes those he used to punish them for punishing the children of Israel. So there are things God wants to do. He said, leave me to do it, too. Don't join me. If you join me, I will punish you after for joining. What am I saying? If God wants to punish a man with hunger, it is not your position to deprive him of food. When God brings him your way, you give him food. If God wants to remove the food from him, let him send a thief. Yes, so as soon as you give the man food, he's going home. A thief will stop him on the way, say, you want chop? Give me that food, collect. Your own record with God is that you helped the hungry. The record of the thief is that he stole from a man who did not have. But in all of it, the will of God is done. God said, this man, you will remain hungry. He never sends good people to do bad jobs. God never does. It's in the scriptures like that. He said, God has made everything for a purpose. Even the thief, even the wicked man, for his role in the day of destruction. That's what he said. That was why the day they put Judas into ministry, Jesus said, I have chosen you 12. Amongst the 12, one is a devil. The day Judas entered ministry, he was already a devil. What am I going to say? If you see a young man that is entering into ministry, and because of his love for God, he said, I'm forsaking looking for a lucrative job or doing lucrative business. I want to just go around preaching the gospel. The question is this. Is it better for him and for the ministry work that I ensure he has food to eat while he's serving God? Or I should say, endure hardship. The Bible says you should endure hardship. The Bible never said enjoy hardship. When it is dependent upon me, I ensure the man does not see the hardship. One of our brothers told me the other day, there's one man of God in their place, came to start the church where they are. This fellow is dedicated to the gospel. This fellow is true to the word of God. He has an open heart to learn God's word and to minister the same. So my friend said to me, he said, after I thought about it, he said, my wife and I said, one thing that will never happen to this fellow while we watch is that he won't have food to eat. He said to me, he said, listen, periodically, we will carry food and dump in his house. If he likes, let him throw it away. He said, but as long as he's preaching this gospel and we are around, his wife, his children, they will never be hungry. Are you seeing that? If he was just managing to feed himself and his children, can he make that kind of dedication?
No.
Prosperity is having enough to help other people serve God without crying. One day, one of my friends, they had a pastor in their church. It's a big church, it's a branch. The pastor was immature. What do I call immature? The man is always whining and complaining that he doesn't have a car. So my friend went, he told his wife, said, so that this young boy can preach, he went to the market, bought a car and gave the man. Say, you will preach now. That was immaturity on the pastor's part. He said, the man is always using style to whine, no complain. Oh, look, listen, there's pride in trek, you know. You should be able to trek with pride. What is the big deal? The man will be whining and complaining, whining and complaining. But my friend only wanted to shut his mouth from whining and complaining. He went to the market. I'm serious. He took money and bought a car and brought it and said, Pastor, take. In his mind, please, can you start preaching now? This is your whining. Can it come to an end? Tunde Bakare said something. I'm defining prosperity, true Christian prosperity. Tunde Bakare said something. He said that, you know, he used to go to Redeem. I don't know how many of you know the story well. You know Tunde Bakare? That brother that tried to be vice president. All this campaigning for vice president is not the will of God. The Lord is good.
I don't know about the current man, Pastor Oshie something, all right? But that one, when Pastor Ndibakari was doing that one, me and my friends, we gather in Jesus' name, that brother is going to lose. Somebody say amen. Say amen. Make sure you vote against him. We didn't go to vote for the other man only. We went to vote against brother who has left church to go and be campaigning when he should be prophesying. That's my opinion. And trust me, it's godly opinion. Go and prophesy. That's what we know. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, that's just by the way. That's not part of my message. That's Pastor Tunde Bakari. Thank God he didn't do it this time around. You should be praying for him, all right? There are temptations in life. He wasn't looking for money, trust me. He wasn't looking for money. He was looking for how to help the country. Even though, in my opinion, he was misguided, but he had a good heart. But I just think that I shouldn't have done it. Anyway, that's not the message. The message is one thing he said once I was listening to him preach. You know, he used to go to Redeemed. He was a Redeemed pastor. Before he now started the current church pastors, latter reign assembly. He said one day, how did he begin to prosper in life financially? Listen to this. One day, anytime you go to church, Pastor E. Adeboye, who we all know now, the GO, will be after they finish preaching everything, he will be saying that, okay, please, brethren, you know, we have to complete the roof. The roof is not complete. So please, as God is blessing you, don't forget to bring money for the completion of the roof. Is there any time he hears announcements like that? He will be feeling bad, you know, as if, why is God lacking money so much that pastor has to be begging for money every Sunday like this? That is not good, though. So he felt very bad. So he went and met the pastor one day and said, sir, I want you to pray for me that God will give me money so that you will never have to make those announcements again. He told the pastor like that. He told Pastor E. Adeboye, please pray for me, sir, that God will bless me. Then these announcements you keep making that brethren should bring money because we don't have, I want it to stop. If God blesses me, I will ensure you don't have to make that announcement again. He said, so Pastor E. Adeboye laid hands on him, prayed for him that God would give him the anointing to prosper. And he went home. He's a lawyer. And when he got to work the next day, they sacked him. Man of God, pray for prosperity today. He went to work the next day, they sacked him. He said he came back to church. I said, sir, that your prayer, you didn't calibrate it very well. It looks like you I'm adding words now. It looks like you didn't get what I said. I didn't say I wanted to come to join you in ministry. I said, pray that I will have money. The only place I used to get money from, they have taken it. When I was hearing the story, and he was preaching, he said something that made me laugh. He said, if there was a day I wanted to shoot somebody, thank God I didn't have a gun. He said, it was that day. He said, I wanted to shoot Pastor E. Adeboye. He said, do you know why? When I told him, he started laughing. He said, the man of God started laughing. And he was asking him, what is funny? You just ruined my life. You are laughing. He said that was when the pastor said that, listen, the kind of money you say I should pray for, they can't pay it as salaries. That was when the man of God answered him. He said, look, money is what I should pray for. Nobody is going to pay you that money as a salary. That is why God had to have you fired. Now you get up and go and start your own business. He said, I told the man, but sir, I am a lawyer. And the law in Nigeria at that time was that professionals like me, with this number of years of experience, cannot own their own business. They can't own their own chambers. Pastor Adeboye said, well, me, I don't know about that. I've just told you what I'm supposed to tell you. You can go. He said he went home and began to pray. Let me make a long story short. Then one day he put on the TV a few days later, and he heard, I don't know whether it's Diagun or Babangida, one of those governments, they just announced that particular law that says that a professional below a particular years of experience cannot start their own businesses have been abrogated.
That is, the word of God that left the mouth of that man went into the Supreme Military Council, or AFRC that time, and told the people in power, change this law, I want to bless somebody. He said, after that he opened his business, his chambers, the first brief he got, if I'm getting the story right, paid him 2 years' salary at a go. What he was earning before as monthly salary, multiplied by 24, was what he was paid in 1 day. The first job he got, being a lawyer by himself. Tunde Bakare will tell you that, listen, and I always tell Christians, follow what is right. Don't follow men of God. Follow what is right. When you see him, you know the man, they abuse everybody. There was a time he faced David Oyedepo. At the time, he faced Pastor E. Adeboye and said, Mr. General Overseer, let my people go. Oh, you've not heard him preach? Everything I'm saying, he says nationally, so I'm not gossiping. He says on television. When you say a man is anointed, believe that man is anointed. That's how we used to pray for him, that he won't succeed in politics, so that he can succeed in ministry. The man is truly anointed. How I know is that this is a man, while military was in power, he will stand on military's television, NTA, and criticize the government and tell them what they are doing wrong. And to my surprise, they won't shut him down. See, Sanders is anointed. He will still, Obasanjo was in power, the man will stand up and tell you secret things the man is doing. One day I watched him on TV. He said, Obasanjo says he's not the member of Ogboni. And this was the sitting president. He said, let him come out and say, I am not a member of Ogboni, and I promise I will never preach again. He said this on national television. I've always had respect for that man. I'm going somewhere. So he said that day, that when you are following me, be careful. He said, because the promise I made to God that time, I'm keeping it till today. You can see him criticize Redeem. Every month he sends them an offering. You can hear him say, hey, what Gio is doing is wrong. At the end of the day, he will go and meet him. Gio, good morning, sir. Here's your offering. He said, because one day I stood in his presence, I made a promise. He said, I'm keeping it till today. He said this on television, so don't think I'm gossiping. I was watching it on television like this. What's the point I'm making? This is how a man looked. Just to finish his story, he said, Lateran Assembly, the church, they don't pay him a kobo. Till now, he doesn't earn any salary from that church. Yeah, till now. He has never earned salary from them. He doesn't earn salary from them till now. They don't pay his house. They don't do anything. He just comes there and preaches like a minister, like every other volunteer in the church, and goes away. He said, in case I didn't, he said, you've forgotten, I'm a lawyer. I have not stopped practicing. I'm only being retained by God. He said, I'm on God's retainership. The man said, look, he's a businessman. Many people don't know. He said, if you ever heard of Skoda, how many of you heard of Skoda? The car, Skoda. He said, I brought Skoda to Nigeria. So, you know, when you are criticizing, be very careful. When the man flies first class, that's all he flies. When he's traveling, he's first class. All right? He pays from his own pocket. He has the money. When I was hearing him preach, he said his house in Atlanta and his house in Nigeria, they are identical. That's to let you know that he had the house in Atlanta built. He said, anywhere you find a tree in my house in Nigeria, there's an identical tree in that spot in Atlanta. He said, Nepa, there's no power failure in my house in Atlanta. There's no power failure in my house in Lagos. You know, when you're watching things from outside, you don't know what's going on inside. The man doesn't take salary from the church. If people can bless him, because the man of God is right, people bless him with stuff. But he said, listen, this is how, he was telling the story of how God blessed him. Pastor E. Adeboye told him, what you have requested, God will do it for you. He prayed for him, prophesied, and told him to go. Next day, they sacked him at work. A few weeks later, he was a millionaire. Why? Because he said, this announcement you are making, I don't want you to make it again. I'm still defining prosperity. So prosperity is one, having enough to do the will of God in your life. Derek Prince said that, and I added to it, and enjoying doing the will of God. I mean, I'm here preaching the will of God. Preaching as the will of God, amen? If you believe that, say amen, please.
Amen.
I could have come from Enugu to Owerri in Kekenapep. We'll still preach. I've gone to preach before. I took bus. Go to bus station. Yeah, I'm going to go and preach. Bus, I'd enter bus. But I don't do that anymore. When I leave here on Saturday, I am going to go back to Enugu and preach in the evening on Saturday. It would not be right for me to go to, is it RTC or ITC, and go and wait for Siena to fill up. I'm going to preach in Enugu. It's not good.